3rd and 4 for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
Touchdown! Boston College!
He scores! Cangelosi puts it in.
WZBC Sports.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Season 3, Episode 3 of WZBC Sports Podcast. I'm Matt Morosco, and I'm here with Jack Sam. And say what's up, Jack.
How are we doing?
And Ben Newer.
Great to be here.
And this is your BC Basketball Season Preview. So just a quick run through of what we're going to do. We're going to recap last season, talk about the new faces, the returners this year, what we expect, where we need to improve, and then finally give you guys some predictions that you can take to the bank about what is going to happen this year for BC basketball.
Absolutely. So why don't we hop right into it? I don't know if one of you wants to just kind of go through just quickly last season, the steps that this team made, where they ended up, and if either one, Ben, you want to run through that real quick?
Sure, absolutely. So last season, BC had some pretty good success earlier in the season. They won most of their games. They had a tough loss to Texas Tech, as well as Providence, Nebraska. But they were on the upswing, and then unfortunately, Deontay Hawkins, the power forward from last season, the graduate fifth-year power forward, who's no longer with the team, unfortunately got hurt. But right after we got hurt, BC, with their biggest win, perhaps in program history, over Duke there, over number one ranked Duke on December 9th last season. And after that, BC kind of sledged through a season where there were some ups, there were some downs. Ultimately, they came out to a record of 7-11 in the ACC and 19-16 overall. That got them into the ACC tournament. Well, every team gets an ACC tournament, but they ended up winning a game in the ACC tournament versus NC State, though unfortunately they were down to Clemson.
Didn't they win two in the
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Yeah. They did. They won Georgia Tech and then Tech. NC State, but unfortunately lost their third game a ranked Clemson team. But overall, definitely the most successful season in Jim Christian's tenure here at Boston College, by a long shot, actually. It wasn't even close. So I don't know. A lot of up and downs. BC unfortunately lost one of their two best players, Jerome Robinson, to the NBA draft, as he was taken, I believe, 13th overall by the LA Clippers.
First ever BC player taken in the lottery picks.
Very impressive. Congratulations to Jerome. Great. I loved one of the few bright spots the last three seasons on a BC team that has seen more downs than ups, for sure. But what did you guys make of last season's squad?
They were definitely steps, right? I mean, BC basketball, they make the NIT tournament. It was our first postseason basketball, speaking NIT tournament or NCAA tournament, and I'm not sure how long it had been.
A long time. Yeah, I can check that right now.
It had been a while since BC had played basketball following the ACC tournament. And also, I mean, just the shard in the ACC tournament too, winning two games. The game against NC State was a great game. Both Kai Bowman and Jerome Robinson went off that game. Jerome hit a late jump shot to really seal the game for us. I think it showed that Jim Christian had really turned this team around, that we had turned a corner, and that we weren't the team that was going to be like the laughing stock of the ACC like we were in Ben your freshman year when I don't believe they didn't win a conference game, nor did the football team. That's a different story. But this BC team showed that they were ready to compete, and they were putting pieces together, and it was looking up to be a bright year this year. However, of course, as you mentioned, the loss of Jerome Robinson is really going to hurt. He was 27% of our scoring on offense. So that'll be a big void to fill. However, granted, we have a lot of promising freshmen coming in, and we have a Kai Bowman who could be one of the better players in the country. So it should lead up to an exciting year this year.
Yeah, so I was not able to find
no worries.
When the last time was that BC was in postseason play outside of the ACC tournament, but I can tell you that was the first time under the Jim Christian era that we were playing postseason basketball. And I agree. I think this team was definitely the best it's been in several years.
Yeah.
And you would like to build off that success. But like we mentioned earlier, you lost a lot with Jerome. Jerome was He accounted for 27% of the team's scoring. And this is a team that scored a lot of points last year, 76 per game, just over 76 points per game.
Right.
And Jerome accounted for 27% of that. And he was really a facilitator. He was a creator on offense. And he was definitely a calming influence on a team where some of your other guards had a tendency to play out of control, to try to do too much with the basketball. And Jerome was definitely a calming influence, having him out on the floor. He could settle down the offense, run the offense, and you could run the offense through him, and you knew that you were going to get a quality shot. You know, he's the definition, the old expression, play fast, but don't be in a hurry. And he really did that. And you saw at times other players on this team would be in a hurry on the basketball court, and Jerome was really able to kind of rein that in. But enough talking about what we lost. But let's turn to this team this year. Outside of Jerome and Deonte Hawkins, who only was able to play 8 games, he got hurt in the Nebraska game. Everybody else is back.
Yeah.
So you have the core of a team that knocked off the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, you're trying to build off a postseason appearance. And we'll get into predictions later, but we also added two very significant pieces this year.
Two very good freshmen.
First, Jarius Hamilton. He was a 4-star recruit, and he's the first since 2008 that's come to BC. He was ranked number 75 nationally.
In his recruiting class.
A
huge get for Jim Christian and his staff.
Absolutely huge. Coach Christian continues to have success in the North Carolina recruiting area. Yeah. That's where Jerome was from, I believe. And
Kai's from down there
as well. So that's a big piece. And then Winston Tabbs is another big piece. He scored 28 points in the quote-unquote secret Harvard scrimmage. He's a 3-star recruit. He was ranked 287 in his recruiting class. That being said, he is on a lot of lists as guys to look out for this year.
Yeah.
So I think it bodes well for the BC program going forward.
Yeah, no, just going off that, what you said with Winston, he was on one of the national ESPN recruiting directors put out a list of, you know, surprise guys, freshmen you should watch this year, you know. Surprise freshman, I guess, was the way he worded it. And he had Winston Tabbs right at the top of his list, saying that he's poised to have a very good freshman year and can make a big difference on this team.
And not only will he, I think, make a big difference because he's so good. I mean, he's going to be a true freshman this season. I don't think he's going to be, I mean, who knows? I didn't think Kai Bowen would really do anything when he came into the school his freshman year, and he turned out amazing. But you can't expect so much of a freshman. But just going back to last year's team, I mean, last year's team literally had zero depth. There was absolutely no bench on last year's team. Looking through the minutes, just taking Deonte Hawkins out of the equation because he was injured 8 games in the season. BC only had six players who played 10 minutes or more per game, and that's including John Carlos Reyes, the I believe he's a junior center now, who hopefully I have many things to say about John Carlos, but I'll keep them to myself, as hopefully he doesn't play as many minutes this year as he did last year. But, I mean, the only two guards off the bench last season for BC was Avery Wilson, who was a true freshman last season.
Really played.
Looked like a deer in headlights. Let's just be honest. He has the athleticism, he has the size, and it looked like he had the skills from his tape, but just was not ready for college basketball, let alone ACC play. And Irvin Zmesniaks, who I am Urban's biggest fan on campus, bar none, but he is just – if Irvin Zmesniaks is a crucial part of your rotation, that's a problem. That's something you don't want to see. So – going to this year's team, just having a guy like Winston Tabbs who can handle the ball, and he's going to need a much bigger role now with Jerome Robinson out.
Because
Jerome Robinson, a lot of times when Kai would sit down, if he ever sat down, because Kai Bowman played 38 out of the 40 minutes per game last season. But on the few minutes he was out, Jerome was sort of able to handle the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
But now with him gone, it's going to be all on Kai's shoulders. He's going to have to defer to Jordan Chapman a little bit more this year. And that's something that Jordan Chapman is an excellent shooter. Shot 39% on 6.5 threes per game last year, which was second on the team behind Jerome's 41%. But Jordan Chapman really improved his ball handling last year, I thought. Nothing great by any measure, but he could attack closeouts. He could make simple passes to one guy or another. And he just wasn't totally inept. Like, he was his
he was a solid player.
Exactly.
He was a very solid, consistent. You knew what you were going to get. He wasn't going to turn the ball over. So I think another thing that you can look at kind of Winston Tabbs that he could be able to do is he could take the ball out of Kai's hands and let Kai play as the two guard, as the off guard, as the scoring guard, which I think would be great for him. He's a guy who struggled with turnovers last year. He averaged over 3 turnovers a game and, you know, just over 4 assists per game. So not a great assist to turnover ratio for a point guard in the ACC when the guard play is outstanding and you need to be able to be a facilitator as well as a scorer. So I think that he might be able to excel more now that he doesn't have the ball in his hands as much and he's free to move without the ball and let other guys kind of create around him that will put him in a situation where he's more able to score. And it will also get other guys involved. Having Winston Tabbs handle the ball means you're going to have less possessions where it's Kai brings the ball up the floor, tries to take on a double team, and dribbles the ball off his foot out of bounds. So I think the more you can have that, the better. And I think that Tabbs, he has a lot of promise for this team as a potential guy who can spell guards when they need to sit down and help facilitate the ball around the team.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think two other guys that I think are players that we should watch this year. One, I say Jordan Chapman.
Yeah.
And I think we know he's a great shooter. This year to have guards like Bowman and Tabbs who are creating, and also with having Hamilton down low, this could give a lot of looks for Chapman, and
he could be a
heavy part of this offense and someone that the offense really turns to. And going off of that, it's going to be interesting to see the progression of Stephon Mitchell after such a kind of a breakout freshman year. I don't think really we expected in the beginning of the season that he was going to turn into the player that he was towards the end of the season. So it'll be really interesting to see if he keeps up that progression, if he's improved. I know some parts of his game, like his free throws, were just not really – his free throw percentage was not one of the highlights of his freshman year. It'll be interesting to see if he's improved there and what kind of a player he has, what he does in his sophomore season.
Yeah, absolutely. I cannot say enough good things about Stephon Mitchell. He is absolutely awesome. He's the heart and soul of this team.
He does all the little things.
He does all the little things well. He's an unreal rebounder, a great defender. He locked down the guy from Duke.
Bagley.
He locked down Marvin Bagley last year. Just an absolute grinder on the basketball court.
He's the guy that you see diving around for loose
balls.
He's giving 110 on defense.
Exactly. He was definitely a bright spot on the team last year, and a guy who I cannot wait to see what he does going forward. He has the potential to be an all-defensive player in the ACC. And, you know, for a team that, let's be honest, this team is a flashy team, especially last year was a flashy team. They liked to score. They did not play great defense. And on a team like that, you need somebody like Stephon Mitchell who's willing to do the dirty work, get his hands dirty, and play tough, hard-nosed basketball and really, you know, be the player that the team needs him to be, because the team can score. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The team doesn't need him to score 20 points a game. That's fine. What we need him to do is rebound, play great defense, hustle, and that's exactly what he does.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, just going back to last year's team, BC 52nd in the country in offensive efficiency, but only 128th in defensive efficiency.
Right.
And
that's not good.
I want to echo exactly what you guys say. Stephon Mitchell's my favorite player in this team. I mean, I love me some Kai Bowman. I love Nick Popovich, but I mean, Stephon Mitchell plays like Draymond Green, man. He is just unbelievable on defense. Can switch on guards. They played center with him in a few lineups. I think that is going to be the most interesting thing to see if Jim Christian is really going to push the envelope, play some Stephon Mitchell at the 5, Jarius Hamilton at the 4, bring some more shooters around that lineup, play a little maybe 4-out, 5-out offense. But I think where Stephon Mitchell really does need to improve, though, is his shooting. I mean, there's no two ways around. He was a bad shooter last year. He's never been even in high school. He wasn't really a good shooter, but he improved as the year went on. I believe it was the South Carolina State game. He had 21 points. That was his big. It was the second game of the season for BC last year. He had a big game. He looked very comfortable. Not just getting catch and shoot threes, but really he was creating his own offense. He was passing to other guys around the perimeter, and I think that's where his true talent on offense is going to lie. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who's going to break you down off the dribble and drive to the hoop. And I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's going to pull up for 3 off the dribble either. But having him just be a connector, run some pick and rolls with Kai and Chapman where he just gets the ball at the foul line. He either dumps it down to Popovich. He maybe dunks it down to Luka Kraljevic, the now sophomore big man from, I believe, from Latvia. And if he can just do things like that, and he can just be a good passer and be someone the defense has to respect on the floor. That's going to be huge for this team.
Absolutely. Yeah, he last year, most of his offense came on offensive rebound putbacks. And again, because he's a grinder, but I absolutely agree, Ben. I think that as a guy who could put, he's a good passer and somebody that you could put in the high post against a zone and really break down zones that way and, you know, get a mid-range jump shot a little bit, work a little bit on low post game and kind of, you know, he's that in-between player where he could be a matchup nightmare.
Yeah.
Smaller guys, you know, he can back down smaller guys. And if he can develop the ball skills to be able to catch the ball up top or catch the ball in the high post and be able to, you know, take a dribble with, you know, Euro step, take a dribble Euro step or, you know, one hard dribble to the basket and pull up. He could, you know, he could shoot over smaller guys and out-athleticize big guys. So I think that I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does this year.
Yeah, no, I think another guy that we kind of just skipped over, even we talked a lot about Winston Tabbs, but just what Jarius Hamilton is just going to bring a wow factor. He's going to be powerful down low. I've yet to see him play. We've just had one scrimmage as the season gets underway later this week. But I think what he could bring to this team could be very interesting too. What was the Michael Jordan quote? The ceiling is the roof or something really weird like that. But I think he has a ton of potential. He is a great player. We know that. And he's going to bring a lot to this team. And it's going to be really interesting to see how he plays because we know he's probably going to get thrown in as a starter coming right off the bat early in the season. So it's just going to be very interesting to see how he makes that transition and how he plays as the season goes on.
And I talked earlier about I want to see Jim Christian push the envelope a little with Stephon Mitchell at center, but just the fact that they're going to be – I believe the starting lineup this year is going to be Kai Bone at point guard, Jordan Chapman at shooting guard, and at the 3 and 4, we're going to see some combination of Stephon Mitchell and Jarius Hamilton. And then at center, probably going to be Nick Popovich. But having those two swingmen who can both at least somewhat handle the ball, they're both guys who were brought up as small forwards, that's huge because – college basketball in general, especially college, is really going in. It's really downsizing for sure, and that's something that if you don't have that, if BC isn't able to match that, they have no chance against these teams. They're already going to be facing a talent deficit every week, going against a Duke, going against Virginia, an NC State, even a Syracuse. But if you can have guys who can dribble the ball, guys who can all at least somewhat credibly get a shot up, and that's going to be the biggest thing with Hamilton is can he shoot? Because as much as Jerome Robinson's off-the-dribble game was big for BC, his shooting was huge. Yeah. And if he can get space to not just space the lane for Kai, but get some Popovich post-ups, just space the ball for Stephon Mitchell, make it so Jordan Chapman isn't just doubled off all these curl screens, that's going to be absolutely huge for them. So I'm really excited to see what happens with that. And I'll just throw up one more player that I personally am big on this year. Luka Kraljevic, who I apologize. I incorrectly said he's from Latvia. He's actually from Slovenia. But I thought Luka Kraljevic had a very underrated freshman year. The stats were not pretty. I won't sugarcoat. The stats were bad. He did not play that many minutes. But he just, you know, when you just see someone on the floor and it just seemed like he knew what he was doing. Yeah. He knew what he was doing defensively. He's got a gorgeous shot. Didn't go in a lot, but I mean, he didn't attempt it a lot either.
Beautiful. Doesn't work.
This is the kind of optimism we need with BC basketball. I've watched this team ever since I am very optimistic. But I do legitimately think that Luka could be the starting center by season's end. And that is no knock against Popovich. Wow. I know. No knock against Popovich. I love Nick Popovich. And especially in workouts this summer, Nick Popovich is showing off a corner three that he has. And if he has that would be – oh, my goodness. I have seen some really bad bricks from Nick Popovich over the years from three. So hopefully if it's a little better than it's been in the past. But I think Luka Kraljevic could be very, very interesting. He's much quicker than Popovich. He's got less girth, so he's not going to be as good a rebounder or a shot blocker. But – if he could be a little quicker, they could run more of a switching type of scheme. I think that could really play to their advantage. And along with his fellow classmates Avery Wilson and Vin Baker Jr. Stefan's a little bit Stefan's a little beyond where these guys are.
He's like in a different tier, I guess.
Yeah, Stefan's established himself. But if those three, if Vin Baker, Luka, and Avery Wilson can really just if one of them can step up, I mean, I just got to be clear. BC cannot run a six-man rotation.
Yeah, no,
year. They can't do it. They did it last year, and it killed them every game. Kai Bowman was exhausted by the end of the games. Understandably, they ran him into the ground. But if they can give him a little bit of a rest, they can just cycle guys in and out. One guy has a bad night, you just sit him on the bench for a little bit more than normal. That would be huge, because that's just something this team has never, ever had in Jim Christian's tenure, is a solid bench that they can rely on.
Absolutely, and I think that's something looking forward to this year. And another player that we forgot to mention is Jarius Hamilton's brother, Jared Hamilton, who also transferred in, who I believe is a guard.
Yeah.
That can also eat up some of those minutes that adds to that bench that we haven't had in the past. I mean, Matt, if you have any other players.
Yeah, that you want to... definitely. So I think one thing, Ben just mentioned Vin Baker. I think Vin Baker has the potential to be very, very good. You just watch him, you know, and he's just athletic. You look at him, and he's the most athletic guy on the floor at times. And I think it's really just a mental game with him right now, and I think he has to get his confidence up and realize how talented that he is and how good he can be going forward. And I think that eventually, as time goes on, maybe not even this year, but 2-3 years down the line, I think he could be an asset for this team for sure. One thing that I would definitely look for this year, a lot of inside-out play. I think that that's really where BC thrived last year. The threes off the dribble were not – I mean, inside-out threes are always a higher percentage shot. So right. I think look for Jarius Hamilton if he's going to be a slasher. I don't know how good his jump shot is. Again, I haven't seen him play that much, and when you watch his highlight reels, they all go in because it's a highlight reel. So I don't really know. But I know that he is a slasher, and he can get to the rim.
Yeah.
And that's an element that Kai brought last year. But really, outside of Kai, not too many guys were true, you know, get to the rim, get fouled. You know, obviously, Jerome could create his own shot. But that was, you know, that was a little bit different. That was, you know, run him off a screen. He can cross somebody over and hit a mid-range jump shot. Yeah. Whereas Jarius is get to the rim. Get to the rim. Give him the ball at the top of the key, and he can get to the rim. And I think that will really open up Jordan Chapman's ability to shoot threes, you know, have him post up in a corner.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, dribble, drive, and kick. Or same thing, work the ball down low if you want to post up Hamilton or post up Popovich or post up Mitchell and let these guys kick it back out to your shooters. I think that really, when the offense was clicking last year, that's why it was clicking. It was clicking off of rebounds and threes off of rebounds, off of offensive rebounds. And threes, you know, if somebody, you know, if you fed the ball down low to Pop, he got shut down, kicked it back out, you know, collapsed the defense. And I think that that's when BC is most effective. When BC struggled at times last year, it was because they settled for jump shots. And you cannot settle. Not all jump shots are bad, don't get me wrong. But when you're settling for jump shots, when you don't get a paint touch before a three, that's when you start to run into trouble. You know, when you one pass in a three, you know, two passes in a three, no paint touches in a three, that's when the opposing team's defense isn't working hard. You know, it's easy to guard the ball if there's only one pass. And you're not really getting the best look that you can. So I think that really ball movement is going to be key this year. And really working the offense, I think, not trying to play hero ball. I think that's going to be the key for this team.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go to their BC's best player. This is, like, emblematic of their problem. Kai Bowman had a ridiculous freshman year in 16-17, shot 45% from three on four attempts. So naturally, he ups his attempts by 50% this year, shoots six attempts, but only at a 36% clip.
This is per game.
Last year. This is per game. Per game. And that's like about 40% of his total shots. And Kai Bowman is an excellent shooter. There's no doubt about that. 80% from the line. Excellent, excellent shooter. But his strength is his driving game.
Yeah.
This is a guy who is a former football standout. He's extremely strong, extremely quick. I mean, definitely the strongest and quickest guard I've ever seen personally in college basketball. But if he can get more to the rim, and we know how Kai can score, but if he can just be more of a passer, more of a distributor, like you said earlier in the show, Matt, only 4.7 assists to 3.2 turnovers, which is not bad by any means.
But as a starting point guard in the ACC, you have to be better.
And not even that. Not even as a starting point guard, those are fine. But as a star, that's not what you're looking for. I mean, Kai Bowman, he's on the list for National Player of the Year in the ACC. This is a guy who could be the ACC Player of the Year, National Player of the Year.
He's
preseason first team All ACC. I mean, this is a guy who needs to dominate for this squad. And he has all the skills, and I think he's tightened up his dribbling a lot as the year's gone on, because I think that is his biggest weakness, is he has a little bit of a loose handle at times.
Yeah.
But I think spacing the floor out is going to be huge for him, having both hopefully Jarius Hamilton will be able to hit his threes, and both Hamilton and Stephon can space out the floor from behind the three-point line. But if he can get those guys, get a little bit of space, and not just get his own shot inside, but get other people's shots inside, that's going to be really, really big for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at Kai's game, and there's no toys about it. He was able to score the ball last year, but he was a volume shooter. And I think for him to be at his best and for this team to be at his best, he needs to cut his attempts and increase his efficiency. He cannot just bring the ball up and try to take on defenses one-on-five. That just doesn't work. He needs to really focus on his efficiency, you know? Yeah. Or, again, if you can have Tabs play as your point guard and as a facilitator, then that allows Kai to work one-on-one against defenders. You know, the whole defense isn't going to collapse on him because he's not bringing the ball up the floor. So you can then run Kai off screens, you know what I mean? Give him a down screen where he can really work. He can excel as a slasher and a guy who gets to the rim. I think that would be huge for this team. But, again, settling for jump shots, which they did at times last year, that's going to be the key to avoid that this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we know you talked about how athletic Kai Bowman is and how he can attack the hoop. And just by him attacking the hoop and drawing defenses in, he can create a lot of opportunities for other guys on this team, and he can help make everyone better. As you said, cutting down, just being more efficient. Because Matt and I have talked about this because we do our AM show. We would talk about games where we saw Kai just hucking up shots. Yeah. And it's just kind of like it became less of a team game, really.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't know if it's trusting your teammates or, you know, just trying to play hero ball. We know Kai Bowman's great. We know he's going to have a great season. There's a reason he's on all these lists preseason, why he's first team all ACC. But there's a point in time where he has to cut down some of the shots and...
Yeah, exactly. Great plug for the AM show. Everybody go check it out. 10 to 11 on Sunday nights. There's no two ways about it. Kai is the most talented player on this basketball team. And I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but I think that no matter how talented you are, there's room for improvement. And look, get him to collapse the defense, but instead of trying to put up a shot against amongst the trees, go kick that out to the corner to Chapman.
You go to Chapman, to Hamilton.
And I will say, in Kai's defense, I honestly don't think he should have trusted anybody last year. I don't think the team had the talent last year. I don't think they had the shooting last. I mean, there were certain guys he should have trusted, of course. I mean, Chapman was unbelievable for three.
You had the leading scorer in the ACC last year.
But I understand that, and I understand the loss of that Jerome Robinson's going to be a big loss this year. I do think it's being overstated by people how much of a loss he was. I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I've watched every game over these last 3 years. I love Jerome Robinson, but he really was more of an individual type of player. Like you said before, Matt, his bread and butter was he'd get a picker on the elbow, he'd slither over to the free throw line or just above the top of the key, and he would do his work from there. He'd either pull up, he'd drive, he'd take like a step back, something like that. He really wasn't a lead guard by any stretch of the imagination. He was always much better when Kai Bowman was on the floor with him. So BC is definitely going to lose a lot of scoring. They're going to lose a lot of clutch shooting. But I do think in some ways there might be a little addition by subtraction when it comes to the flow of the offense. I think more people are going to get involved. Like I said, I think Stephon Mitchell is going to get a lot more involved. I think he's a much better passer than people are giving him credit for.
I agree with that.
And not even Stephon. I mean, Nick Popovich was an excellent passer for this team last year.
Yeah.
One of the better passers in the ACC for a big man, actually. He averaged 1.3 assists per game. As a center who doesn't really have a big usage rate, that's huge. That's a big, big number there. And if we can get a little more inside out action, like you said, a little less one-on-one ball. And again, I hate to like be negative about Jerome, but he wasn't the best defender either by a long stretch. And
no, that's very true.
I am concerned about how Jordan Chapman is going to hold up at the two this year. I do think he's better off at the three. But he's going to have to play the two this year, right? I don't see. And thus somehow Winston Tabb just becomes more unbelievable than we think he is, which seems pretty unlikely. But I am a little concerned with how Chapman's going to do with the two. But I do think overall this defense is going to get a lot better. Stephon Mitchell's going to have another year of experience. And, I mean, he is, like you said, he's defensive player of the year potential. He's really unbelievable. And a guy like Jarius Hamilton is going to provide a lot of length at the three, and a guy who can not only can play the three and the four, because basketball is really going away with positional designations at this point. You have guards, you have wings, and you have bigs. And by having as many wings as you can, that's how you're going to win. So if a guy, whether it's a Vin Baker steps up, an Avery Wilson steps up, a Jared Hamilton, who won't be able to play until January because of his transfer situation, but as an older guy who has experience playing at two other colleges, if one of those guys can just step up and just be a little bit better for this team, or, I mean, hey, maybe even Chris Herron Jr., the son of the ex-NBA Boston Celtic, Chris Herron Sr., great player, troubled, but very, very good player. But if one of those guys can just step up and just, I'm just coming back to this every time. The thing that killed this team was their depth. They had the top-end talent last year, but they just had literally zero depth. And if you just don't have to tire out everybody in this, on the squad, and you can just, you can have a bench that can just step in and just play 5 minutes and just don't get destroyed. Like, every time the bench would come in, it would be like a 10-0 run or like a 15-0 run. It was like, it was honestly ridiculous. But I think they have the big man. I think Luka is going to be a good backup big man, even if he doesn't fulfill my prediction of being a starter by the season. He's going to be a good backup center. You got you got at the wing, you can, I mean, Urban Zvezniak's, you don't want him playing a huge role, but he can step in for a minute here, a minute there. You have Winston Tabbs, who's BC's first backup point guard since Ty Graves transferred at the beginning of Kai Bowman's freshman year 2 years ago. Ever since that, BC has not had a backup point guard. So that's going to be really big for them. But so what do you guys see as we all agree in the starting lineup is going to be it's going to be Kai, Jordan Chapman, Jarius Hamilton, Stefan Mitchell, and Popovich. And assuming an 8-man rotation, which is, it seems like that's what Christian likes, even though they don't really have they haven't really had 8 ACC quality players recent seasons. Who do you guys see as the three main guys off the bench you're going to be getting major minutes?
So yeah, I agree. I think Hamilton. Well, let's just go over the starting lineup one more time. Kai at the one, Chapman at the two, Hamilton at the three, Steph at the four, and Popovich at the five. Then I think you're going to see, coming off the bench, I think Tabs is probably going to be the first guy off the bench if he can live up to what he's supposed to do.
I would agree with that.
And then I think that you're going to see Luka off the bench, and I think you're going to see you're going to see John Carlos Reyes, I think, in less minutes than he had last year, but you will still see him off the bench. He's a guy who's got experience and who has gotten better in his time here to an extent. The big key, though, where do you guys think the scoring is going to come from this year? Because this is a team we gave up last year over 74 points per game, and it felt like over 80 points, probably was over 80 points per game in ACC play. So you're going to need to score the basketball. You're going to need to score quite a bit to make up for that loss. Yeah. Where do you see kind of this increase in scoring from? Because don't forget, you need to increase it while maintaining relative efficiency. It's not just like somebody can shoot more and, you know, there's going to need to be somebody else who steps up to score this year.
Yeah, no, for sure. And going off what Matt said for his first three guys off the bench real quick, I agree for the most part. I think Christian has shown he kind of trusts Giancarlo Reyes a little bit. He throws him in a lot. It'll be interesting to see just what progressions Vin Baker Jr. has made. And we talked about this earlier. If he's advanced, if he's, you know, knocking down the shots, if he's more confident, really, I think is the best way of putting it. I think he could play crucial minutes for this team. But anyway, in terms of scoring, I think someone who's going to score the ball a lot more this year is Jordan Chapman. I think he is one. He's the best shooter on this team, and I think he's going to get a lot more looks, especially when you have guys like Bowman. If Bowman's driving and kicking, and when you have focus on Hamilton down low, I also think it will be interesting. I kind of want to hear what you guys think in terms of how many, like, what can we expect out of Jarius Hamilton, having, you know, this top level recruit coming in. However, we haven't really seen him play. What do we expect points per game wise, and what do we expect him to do for this offense?
I mean, just speaking from necessity, he's got to get double digits point per game.
Right.
I mean, I don't know where else the points are going to come from.
Exactly.
I mean, and that kind of like, but then again, he's a freshman, and how much can you expect from a guy? I mean, we saw last year with Vin Baker, with Avery Wilson, Stephon Mitchell is a different story, but even offensively for Stephon, like, it's just a whole different ball game playing in the ACC. I mean, none of those guys were as highly regarded as Jarius coming out of high school. Jarius Hamilton is the best recruit for BC in 15, 20 years, however long it is.
It's been a while.
It's been 10 years, okay. So maybe not as long.
Since Reggie Jackson.
So that's huge. But the way I think BC is going to get points is they have to run. I think they're going to have to run a lot. And that is why I would love to see some Stephon at center, like I said before. BC has to get it. Kai Bowman is as fast as anybody in the league. You got a guy like Jarius Hamilton, given his size, 6'8". He's got, I don't know the exact measurements of his wingspan, but he looks like he's a longer wingspan than he does height, just from seeing him on campus walk around. I think he's going to be very tough to stop in the break. That's where you can get a guy like Vin Baker Jr., who's extreme. I mean, Vin Baker Jr. has all the physical gifts in the world. He's an NBA package. He just doesn't have any of the skills. At this point of his career. I mean, who knows? Maybe he comes out this season and he's just knocking down threes left and right.
That'll be interesting to see.
But transition is a way is a place where those guys can thrive. And that's also, I mean, Avery Wilson, another big athletic specimen, a guy who's a former football player as well. These are where these guys can get easy baskets. We can run the floor. We can try to run some of these bigger, plottier, like for a Duke, for instance. Duke has like eight centers on their team. They're going to be a big plotting team, as they always are, because that's where a lot of the talent is. But if you can just run those guys up and down, get them tired, and take advantage of this new depth that we have this year, an actual bench of people that actually can like play and won't just like fumble the ball out of bounds and like not even guard anybody. If we can take advantage of that, I think that is going to be the key. And that's going to be a big adjustment for Jim Christian, because BC, they were 70th in the country last year in pace, so not too bad, but historically, under Christian, they have played a slower style. It's been a little bit faster each year, but
right. That's
going to be a key adjustment for Christian in this, in what is going to be a big year for the coach.
Absolutely. Matt, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think if you're looking at Jairus Hamilton coming in, I think a realistic stat line for him is going to be 10-5-3. And that's kind of what you want to see. That's points, rebounds, and assists, just to clarify that. And I think that's you need that at an absolute minimum from him to make up. And again, I think Jerome, I think that will be a big loss. I think that he played well within the offense. I think that you would run plays for Jerome and he would get a shot up and hit a shot. So, and there's nobody really now who you, I guess you can run plays for Chapman, run plays to get Chapman open. But other than that, it's going to be a lot of street ball, a lot of kind of we want to out-athleticize you with Hamilton, with Baker. With Baker and obviously with Kai. So I think, Jack, any last words on this? And do you want to get into kind of some scheduling and some preseason predictions?
Yeah, no, I think we're good on that. I think we covered a lot of the player aspects. And say we move on, talk about the schedule for the season, what we think.
Yeah, okay.
You want to run right into it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that I think kind of hurt this team last year was our non-conference scheduling was weak.
I would agree.
And it kind of is the same this year, I would say. Your non-conference games, you're looking at Milwaukee, St. Francis College of Brooklyn, IUPUI, Wyoming in a tournament. Then if we win that game...
We're gonna either get...
Loyola
Chicago
or University of Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond.
So either way, no Power Fives. Obviously, Loyola Chicago had that magical run last year, and absolutely. Richmond's part of the A-10, which is one of the better non-Power Five conferences in basketball.
Yeah.
Then we do host Minnesota. Rick Pitino's son will be coming into town for that game, so looking forward to that. But again, then you go Sacred Heart as a team. So your first non-Power Five, your first Power Five game is Minnesota. And it's not like a big game by any stretch of the imagination. It is not a powerhouse team by any stretch of the imagination. Then you play Sacred Heart. With all due respect to Sacred Heart, not the highest level of competition. We host Providence this year. We have a home and home with Providence.
Yeah.
Going back to the Big East days. And then at Texas A&M is a tough game. And then you go back into kind of warm-up mode with Columbia, Fairfield, and then... At DePaul, tough game, Big East school. You should win that game. DePaul's not great. They never really have been great, and they probably never will be that great.
Just going after their whole franchise.
And then you wrap up with Hartford. So, again, this is – if you look at non-conference strength of schedule, which is a huge element of NCAA and NIT selection committees, they look at this. Because you can't control how good your conference is, but you can control who you play out of conference. And not really playing anybody out of conference with the exception of Providence and A&M. That could, hopefully it won't, but that could come back to hurt us come selection time. So what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Matt. And we talked about this last year, and it was something
plug the AM show.
Yeah, plug the AM show, or just talking sports. But it was something that we hoped would change a little bit. We'd hope, after seeing the improvements made last year, we'd see a bit of a stronger non-conference schedule. When I saw they were going down to this tournament where they're playing Wyoming, Loyola Chicago, and Richmond, I was excited. I was like, oh, what's this new – it's like a Thanksgiving weekend tournament. I was like, oh, what is this? And then, kind of a letdown to see we're playing Wyoming in our first game. I was like, okay. Not as strong as we'd like to see, I'm sure. The Texas A&M game will be big down in College Station. That'll be a really tough game. The Providence game will be good. We host them this year. Providence was a good team last year. But really, yeah, there's a lot of these games are just against, I mean, for really lack of better words, no-name D1 college basketball teams.
Yeah,
I think that's a fair way of putting it.
You're looking at teams in one big leagues. You're playing teams in one big leagues.
Yeah, teams in one big leagues, exactly, if that didn't come through. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it should help the record, right? You hope BC they should be winning the majority of these games.
Those games, even if you win those games, though, I mean, it'll help the record, but it's going to hurt your RPI. You could beat IUPUI by 100 points, and your RPI is going to go down. So hopefully, I mean, obviously being in the ACC kind of allows you to get away with that, but then you're relying on getting all your top 50 RPI wins in conference play, which is going to be tough.
I will say, on a more positive note for the schedule, they do have 9 of their first 10 games at home. The only away game will be the Texas A&M game. So, like, they might have a weaker schedule. Like, I would agree, they definitely do have a weaker schedule, like you guys are saying. But given that this team is going to have to adjust to the loss of Jerome, they're still relying on a lot of freshmen and a lot of sophomores this year. I think it could help them. They don't have to travel. They can stay at their home floor, eat their home cooking, just hang out as on campus themselves. I think that is going to be a big help. And I do think the easier schedule, at least in the beginning of the season, will be a little bit big help. We've seen BC lose to some terrible teams in the past. I personally went to the Fairfield and the Hartford losses. Or I remember seeing them. I didn't go. I believe it was at Hartford, but. So we've seen them drop games to these teams before, and that is going to be really telling. For those first 10 games, or I guess you could say first 12 non-conference games, from Milwaukee on this Tuesday, November 6th, till Hartford on December 31st, what do you guys see? If I was to be confident about BC, I really can't see them lose, or I really wouldn't want to see them lose more than one game, either one of those. You lose to one of either Providence at home or Texas A&M on the road. But all these other games are really gimmies. Minnesota is going to be a little bit of a tougher one. Columbia, even though they're an Ivy League teams, are always tough to play, no matter how good they are.
Columbia played us tough last year.
They did. Because, I mean, they just played great basketball. But if BC can come out of those first 10 games, 12 games, 11-1, they'll be in really good shape for starting out the season. They have a really tough start to the ACC, as four of their first 6 games in conference are going to be on the road. But if they can get a little bit of a cushion, learn how to play with each other, and just develop a system, like, you got to just develop an identity at a certain point. And whether that's going to be being a more defensive team this year, as they lost their high score, or maybe they do what we're saying, and they become a run and jump, high tempo team where they're just pushing the ball every possession. You just need something. You need something you can hang your hat on. It can't just be, like you're saying, can't just be the Kai Bowman show. He's amazing, but he can't carry a team himself. Nobody can. So I am a little more optimistic on the team because of their non-conference schedule, especially in the beginning of the year. And I think that could really help them as they go in a really, really tough conference slate.
Yeah, I think that was a great point about, you know, the young guys relying on the youth, you know, and getting them acclimated, allowing them to play in the friendly confines of Conte Forum. That being said, I do think we're going to drop probably 3. I would say we probably drop 3 non-conference games in any combination of at DePaul, at Texas A&M, Providence, Minnesota, and then the Loyola Chicago Richmond. So I think we win 2 of those and drop 3 of those. Again, I couldn't tell you which ones. And again, depending on what happens, say we lose to Wyoming, then we play Richmond, who will presumably lose to Loyola Chicago. I think we beat Richmond. You know, Minnesota's a wild card team. They were top 15 team at the beginning of last year and then absolutely fell apart. They had that bizarre game against Alabama that they played 5-on-3 because there was a fight and a bunch of players got ejected. So
yeah,
they played that game 5-on-3. But I think Providence is a tough team. I would love to win that game. At A&M is a tough. That's a tough game. And then, you know, DePaul's not that great. And as much as I made fun of DePaul a little bit earlier in the show, whenever you go on the road to a Big East school, it's not an easy game.
No, not at all.
So, you know, I think there's some coin toss games at the beginning. And I think, could we go 11-1? Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be awesome. But that's relying on kind of winning coin toss games, and I just see us going more 500 in the coin toss games.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they were to come out of the early part of the season with 2 losses or 3 losses, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Ben, I do like the point you made about the easier schedule at first, just based on how young this team is and trying to figure out what the offense is going to do without Jerome. I think something worth noting with these away games, the at DePaul, the at A&M. Last year, Boston College was 2-11 on the road. Now, granted, a lot of those games are ACC games, and, you know, road ACC games are always going to be difficult. But still, this was a team that played much better basketball at home, the friendly confines of Conte, as as Matt said, and they're not so great on the road. And I mean, you know, going into A&M is going to be a very – I mean, that's a team that was in the Sweet 16 last year. That's going to be a very tough game.
Great team.
That home game against Providence, that's a team that took Nova to overtime for the Big East Championship. That's another very, very good basketball team. And like you said, Matt, you know, going on the road to a Big East team, DePaul, or even the neutral games over Thanksgiving break, playing those, they're not Power Five conference teams, but you know, that's, we saw how good that Loyola Chicago team was.
We know Richmond, they're a preseason top 25 team. Yeah. Loyola Chicago.
Yeah, and we know Richmond. We know the A-10, the Atlantic. Is it? Yeah, A-10 always produces some good teams.
Yes, sir.
So, I think if they were to come out of this with only one loss, that would be more. That would exceed my expectations.
That would be a win. Absolutely.
I would be very excited about this team. Realistically, if they come out with 3 losses, that's not the end of the world. That's not like the panic button. I think, you know, 3 losses is probably expectable. I mean, I think if you do better than that, if you're talking only 2 losses, you know, that's very good. And then 1 loss would be incredible. It'd be very exciting going into the ACC play.
Yeah. So speaking of ACC play, there is a conspiracy theory afoot.
Yes.
All of Boston College's big, kind of quote-unquote big-ticket home games,
yep,
they're all over breaks, so there will be no students here. Now, I certainly ascribe to the theory that the ACC, if you're the ACC conference, you're looking at this Boston College team as kind of a weakness within the conference, a team that is not supposed to make the NCAA tournament. This is a team that does not have a great that is not going to have a great RPI ranking or BPI ranking coming into conference play. And then they saw what happened when Duke came here last year. And, you know, you look at that Duke loss, and for a time that knocked Duke off the 1-seed line.
Yeah.
So I do you guys believe that anything of this scheduling could be they're trying to protect their big-name schools from coming in and taking, quote-unquote, bad losses on the road at Boston College?
No, I believe it. I think it makes sense. I mean, is this what happened? I think it might be a stretch to say it is, but it looks like it, right? And especially after last year. I mean, we're talking about the home game against Virginia, who is preseason number 5 in the nation. That will be during winter break, so there will be no students here. And then when UNC comes to town, the preseason number 8, that will be during spring break, and no one will be here. So those are the two big games, the two biggest ACC games of the season that will be played at Chestnut Hill will be when there's no student section. So I can definitely buy into it. I think the logic makes sense as to why they would do it. Did they actually do it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say whether or not they actually did, but
it makes sense that the ACC would be trying to protect some of their better teams from getting, you know, bad losses that could hurt them come NCAA tournament time.
Yeah.
And I will say in favor of BC's upset, I mean, a lot of the time having an upset is just like having the best player on the floor that day. And Kai Bowman can be the best player on the floor any day against any team. I mean, even against the Duke superclass that they have last year. I mean, in their game last season, Kai Bowman was easily the best player on the floor. He was playing with, I believe it was 3 NBA first-round picks on Duke's roster. So I think BC has a chance to really upset pretty much any team they play. I wouldn't have them out of any game this season. I mean, at Duke on February 5th, Duke's number 4 in the country, that is going to be tough. And again, at Virginia Tech, which is going to be their inaugural ACC game on January 5th, also very, very tough game. You mentioned earlier, Jack, about how BC's not good on the road. They were really bad last season, but they also had a lot of really close losses last season on the road. I mean, one that comes to mind particular to me is against Virginia in their first ACC game. Nick Popovich had the ball, was going to hand it to Jerome Robinson with, I believe, like 2 seconds left for a 2 to tie the game, and or to win the game, actually. They only lost by 1, and it was just a fumble. And that happened a few times that season, that BC was just right on the cusp and couldn't finish. And I guess this really transitions into what do you guys think about BC's record this upcoming season? How do you see them doing in the ACC and just overall in the season?
Yeah, that's a great question. Just to go back to that Duke game, I mean, that was Bowman did put up 30. He shot 50% from the floor. But I think one of the big things, Jerome Robinson, and these are the numbers that we need to see from Kai this year. Jerome Robinson was 8 of 11, 5 of 5 from 3. So he put up 24 points on 11 field goals. So that's kind of the efficiency that we need to see this year going forward, I think, from everybody. Do we see that efficiency? I don't know. I'm not super high on this team. I gave us a 16-14 final record. I just think that the games in the ACC, the teams that we match up best against in the ACC, we're playing those teams on the road, unfortunately, this year. And it's just tough to win on the road in conference. You know, that's what you have to do in conference plays. You have to hold serve at home. And, yeah, so I'm going to give us a 16-14 record. And I do not see us playing postseason basketball this year. I see next year kind of as a year to circle, though, especially if Kai decides to come back. Yeah, Jack's saying he won't come back.
He did test. He did end up going to the NBA Combine this year, and then was told by scouts that he wouldn't, that he should return to school. And just on that note, real quick, I think it'll be interesting to see how Kai improves his game this year. What if he takes what NBA scouts told him to heart? I'm not sure what they told him, but
yeah, it'll be interesting.
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, no, about Kai Bowman, I was shaking my head there. I read something that said he was, in this draft, he was apparently guaranteed a second-round pick, and a scout told him, look, if you go back to school, you're going to be first-round next year. I'd assume that he's going to take strides this year, and that I'm going to assume he's not going to be back next year. I think this year it'll be really interesting to see what happens in the absence of Jerome. I think I'm a little more optimistic than you are, Matt.
Yeah.
And it's going to come down to those road games. Last year, that was something that this BC team could not win. And like Matt said, you know, in conference, you have to be able to win your home games. That's a big thing. So for BC to go on the road and steal some of these games is going to be difficult, and it's something they didn't do that well last year. That being said, I'm a bit optimistic. Not as optimistic as Ben is over here, and we'll get to him next. Last year, BC 7-11 in conference. I could see somewhere around that, maybe 8-10. There's a lot of really good ACC teams this year. I think there's 5 ranked in the top 25 in the preseason. It's a tricky conference.
It's the best basketball conference in the country.
Absolutely. It will be difficult. That being said, I think it's going to be a good team. I think this team's going to be on par and maybe a little bit better than they were last year. So I'm going to say they could go 18-12 through their 30-game schedule, and that'll see them go into the ACC tournament, and hopefully this, if they make some noise in the ACC tournament, could give them some postseason basketball once again.
NCAA or NIT?
I would lean more NIT just because of how good I think the ACC is. That being said, like Ben said, this with Kai Bowman on the floor, BC has a chance to upset any one of these teams any day of the week, right? And we saw that last year, the flashes. You know, we played Virginia tight. We beat Duke. We barely lost to Clemson. I mean, the ACC tournament, we got hot. That game against NC State, you know, we saw just how well, and also a lot of that was Jerome too. But we've seen flashes from this team, and that being said, though, I don't know if they'll win enough of the big games needed to go to the NCAA tournament, but I think they should be back for the NIT for the second year in a row.
All I'll say is that I think Jim Christian isn't getting enough credit for the amount of progression that this team has gone through. If you remember in 16-17, which is 2 seasons ago, BC only won 2 games in the ACC. They won, I believe it was 2 out of their first 3 games. In the ACC, actually, we're calling both of them on WZBC. It was 2 out of their first 4 games, excuse me. And last season, they jumped up to 7 conference wins. I'm going to predict BC for 10-8 in the ACC this year. I think they're going to be much better. I think depth really killed them last year. They had 3 or 4 games where they were right in it towards the last minute of the game, and then they either ran out of gas or they had an unlucky bounce go one way or the other. But I think BC is going to be much, much better. And like I said earlier in the show, I think they're going to go 11-1 out of conference. I think that's the most logical. If they are the team that I think they are, if Jarius Hamilton is the prospect that people say he is, if Kai Bowman and Stephon Mitchell take the steps forward we think they do, maybe Nick Popovich's shooting is real, maybe Luka takes an unexpected step himself. I mean, who knows? Maybe Avery Wilson or Vin Baker become contributors this year. I do think that BC is going to be much better this year. I'm going to predict them for 10-8 in the conference, 21-9 overall, which would take into account their 11-1 record. And I do think they're going to get an NCAA tournament appearance this season. I just think it's been very slow, admittedly, very, very slow process. But I do think Jim Christian is building a sustainable program here. And I do think the system that they're building is going to get better, and I do think they're going to be a much better team. They just look like a good team. By the end of last year, you watch their games, they were never outclassed by any team. Yeah. They were in every single game they played, even the ones where they got blown out because a team just shot like 80% or whatever it was, or just had a crazy night. Or like against Notre Dame last year, or Matt Farrell just had a crazy night. BC was always – they were never outclassed. They were always in the games. And if you're in the games and you have – one of the better players on the floor in Kai Bowman, you always have a chance to win. And giving basketball is, it's not like football. It's a sport where the best players often carry their teams a victory. And I do think Kai Bowman's going to be the best player in the majority of the games they play. And therefore, I just think BC is going to be much better this year.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely something that Matt and I both want to see, right? We want to see this team do great. I just had a quick question for you, Ben, and we'll get over to Matt. If this team does worse than they did last year, or around the same or worse, do you think it's the end of the Jim Christian era? Or do you think they stick with him?
It's tough. I mean, Martin Jarman, the new AD, did not hire Jim Christian. That was a Brad Bates hire from years ago. So he has no obligation to stick by Christian. I believe Christian's contract is through the 2020 season or 2021 season now. So he does have a few years left. I would keep him personally. I'm admittedly a big Christian fan. I think he runs a pretty good offensive system. At least he did for Jerome. He knew his strengths. He knew the weaknesses. I think his weaknesses as a recruiter. But yet in recent years, I mean, Jarius Hamilton, one of the best recruits we've had in over a decade here. Kai Bowman and Jerome Robinson, both relatively unheralded and both turned into stars. I wouldn't pull the plug. I mean, I think people forget how bad BC basketball has gotten. I remember the Steve Donahue years very clearly, and that was very depressing. There was no reason to go to those games. There's a reason to go to these games. I do think Jim Christian is a very competent coach. I think he's a great staff behind him. Not many people know, but Scott Spinelli is really one of the guys he's the assistant coach for Boston College, and he was one of the drivers towards getting Jerome, getting Kai, and getting Winston Tabbs. All from and Jarius Hamilton, all from Carolina. So I think he has a good staff around him. I think the team is good. If it's something crazy, like if it's zero ACC wins, like you can't have that. You can't have like one or two ACC wins. But I think if it's a normal season, even if it's disappointing, I would keep him at least for one more season.
So here's the problem with that. And yes, his contract goes through either 2020 or 2021. But unless we extend his contract, he's a lame duck coach, and he can't recruit at all. So you have to make the decision this year, either this year or next year, whether you're going to extend him, in which case he can say, hey, I'm here. This is the program that I'm running. I want you to be on my team. Or we're moving on. We bring in a new coach. I would not mind seeing bringing in a new coach. As anybody who listens to the AM show knows, I'm not the biggest fan of Coach Christian. That being said, again, if he can maintain kind of the level of play that we had last year and continue to make postseason appearances, I think his job is safe. But again, you want to avoid kind of this. He has 1 year left on his deal. He can't, that ties his hands. He can't recruit at that point. So you need to make a decision so he can go out and recruit. Or if you don't want him to continue to be your head coach, move on and go sign somebody to an 8-year deal so they can go say, I'm here for 8 years. You will be on this team for 8 years. You'll be on this team for 4 years.
Wow, 8 years.
Yeah, you will be on this team for 4 of those 8 years, and this is the role you will play. Yeah, and again, just going back to the records, look, I agree. I think we have the potential to go 18-12. I think there's a lot of toss-up games.
Yeah,
and I agree. 18-12.
A lot of those games are on the road.
Right, and so I could see us going 18-12. I could also see us going 12-18.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We win all our toss-up games, we're 18-12, and everything's beautiful. We lose them all, we're 12-18 and talking about a new basketball coach at this time next year. Or, you know what I mean? You know, you go 500-ish and you end up at 16-14. I just kind of split the difference. There were a bunch of games where I haven't seen this team play. I haven't seen Hamilton.
There's a lot of questions still. Who's going to step up on offense? We talked about that for a ton earlier. Who's going to fill the void that Jerome left? Who's going to score besides Kai?
Yeah, so when I was going through the schedule and there was a game that I couldn't pick, I just literally just went one in the loss column, one in the win column, one in the loss, one in the win, and just went down like that and ended up at 16-14. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be an interesting year. I think it's a very, very telling year, like you said, Jack, for Coach Christian. I think it's a crucial year for Coach Christian.
Yeah, it's a crucial year for him. You want to build off the steps the program made last year. Last year was the best year this team had had in a while.
Since the Skinner days.
And like Ben said, it really showed Christian's development. This was his doing. He had turned it around. His guys, Jerome and Kai. And it's going to be interesting to see if he can build off that and keep it going, or if that was more of a fluke, right? If, you know, got two guys and they turned into stars.
Right.
But that being said, I'm excited for this year. It should be a very interesting year of basketball on the Heights once again. Last year kind of surprised us. I think we might have found that a bit – the success came earlier than expected. But still – it's a great season, and this season should be even better with a lot of stars on the court, with Kai and Jarius and Winston and growing stars with Stefan and all that. It should be fun to watch.
It will definitely be a great season. I am 100% looking forward to it. I will be at the game tomorrow. I will be at all the games. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I want this team to win just as badly as everybody else does. I love college basketball, and I think there's nothing more exciting than a good college basketball team. Again, I'm hoping for the best, and I hope we go 21-9. You know, I really do. So we'll see what happens. And again, only time will tell. I think last year we had a better sense coming into the year what we had. This year, lots of question marks that stay tuned. Just stay tuned, and we'll see how everything plays out.
I'll just say, just as we're wrapping this up here, is if you have any qualms about watching BC basketball, just come to see Kai Bowman, man. He's really unbelievable. He's the most athletic, like, non-NBA player I've ever seen, personally, like, even counting the Duke guys, counting the UNC guys. He's just really fun to watch. He plays a really, like, wild, loose style of basketball that's just super entertaining, and it's just really fun. I really enjoy watching this team. I've watched a lot of losses over the years, a lot of losses.
You've gone full circle.
Oh, man, I was there for the entire 0-18 ACC season, and I saw them go 7-11 last year in the conference. So I think they'll be better this year, and even if they aren't, like, even if they're about the same, maybe a slightly bit worse, I do think it's going
to
be fun.
It should be fun. So make sure to follow the Boston College men's basketball team this season. You can, as always, you can follow them on the WZBC Sports website. I'm sure there'll be a mid-season basketball review podcast. And with that, that's it for this basketball preseason podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope you listen again later.
Top scores, Eagles win. The Eagles have won the 2016 Bean Pot Championship.
Catch all the excitement of Boston College Athletics right here on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. As BC's only student radio broadcasting organization, WZBC Sports brings a different viewpoint of college athletics to the table. Our student commentators know the campus, student-athlete culture, and latest beat on the teams like no other media outlet, thanks to our dedicated coverage of Boston College sports. Check out our broadcast or weekly talk show schedules at www.wzbcsports.com and get a refreshing take on sporting events at the Heights and beyond.